The Birdcage Commentary for the July 16, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. This week's lesson is almost a synopsis of Maya Angelou's book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. It is a tale of finding one's song despite adversity and suffering, an incredibly old story that finds its roots in Bronze Age narratives echoed in the Iron Age writings of the Bible. It has been the most compelling theme in literature, art, and song to the present day. Because of the adversity we experience in our own lives, we identify with and root for the underdog. Seeing him overcome his challenges and succeed, we are reinforcing our belief that our own story will turn out the same. Much in this world argues against that. Vicious dictators destroy their enemies at will within their own domains, where they sow darkness and despair, destroying hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals, and leaving their families as destitute pariahs. Not content with destroying their own society, they even visit destruction on neighboring countries who refuse to be subjugated to the same terror. The never-ending COVID pandemic has put over 6 million people to death. The repeated rounds of vaccinations, hand-washing, sanitizer use, and mask-wearing, while effective, do not seem to eliminate repeated surges of infection and death. Some of this may be due to pandemic fatigue that causes us to lower our guard over time. But whether self-induced or the result of limitations on what science can achieve, the coronaviruses often are a step ahead of us, ready to increase their numbers and variants at our expense. Included with these challenges is the uncertainty whether we will see our loved ones again when we go to the grocers or to church. The random murders of large numbers of people by the mentally ill who tote semi-automatic assault weapons to express outwardly on others the pain they are feeling inside haunt us all. While the mangled bodies are instant evidence of the destruction they cause, no one knows how much more mental illness will be sown among the family members of the victims because of the horror and loss. Every evil act sows the seeds of the next round of evil. Sadly, this is not a one-for-one equation. Like a cancer that has metastasized, it is spreading to every sector of society, to where some are questioning whether it can ever be rooted out, fearing the patient is terminal either way. Faced with these and other challenges, it seems normal to question whether humanity is on an inevitable slide to its own demise. Is there something broken about us that cannot be fixed? Are we facing an eventual mass extinction event like the dinosaurs faced? How ironic this would be. We are the most self-aware species on the planet, yet are we unable to prevent our own end? The Bible recognizes this problem from the very beginning, with the mystery of why one human being would end the life of another, as when Cain killed Abel. That wickedness also spread and multiplied to the extent there was no obvious way to save humanity from itself without eliminating the cancer. Like an etch-a-sketch, the earth was shaken with a flood, clearing the screen to start anew, stopping the spread of evil. Unfortunately, the seeds of that evil were already sown among the post-diluvian survivors. Ham's descendants went on to build the Hittite, Egyptian, Babylonian, and Assyrian empires. The Hittites were descendants of Canaan. Their empire was destroyed during the general collapse that occurred at the end of the Bronze Age. Even though they had once been strong enough to defeat Babylon, and it inflicted punishing losses on Egypt at the Battle of Kadesh. Egyptians were descendants of Ham's son, Egypt. The Babylonians and Assyrians were descendants of Ham's son Cush through Nimrod. All these empires were built through the subjugation of others via wars of conquest. Suffering's long history has not only produced these and many other empires, it has also produced an endless stream of sufferers. As those suffering from natural causes like disease, old age, and the loss of loved ones are not enough, we must also inflict additional suffering on one another. While some simply chalk this up to the result of original sin and the fall of humanity from a prehistoric state of perfection, idealized by the concept of the noble savage living at one with nature, humanity is fundamentally broken. This is not to say that we have not been successful at dominating the earth, much to the chagrin of the environment, but we seem unable to stem our more destructive, narcissistic tendencies and the suffering that results. While the Bible recognizes this downward trend, it also offers a way forward that does not require violence, force, and the subjugation of others. The words of Jesus tell us to trust in God rather than our own strength of arms to thrive. In the face of the political aspirations of so many, aspirations that have created deep divides, that is a radical thought. It is even more radical for those who have long since stopped taking the idea of God's existence seriously. Putting down their weapons, both real and virtual, and trusting someone they believe is a fantasy requires more faith than they can muster. In their minds, only a fool would do such a thing. Of course, if the existence of God is in doubt, what does that say about the possibility of eternal life? If this life is all we have, then best to cling to it with all one's might. But the idea carries its own contradiction, for no matter how much we fight to preserve it, like a puff of smoke, a vapor, it is soon over, and the vanity of our efforts are revealed for the dust and ashes they are. In the 1982 film, Conan the Barbarian, Conan is asked, what is best in life? He responds, to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women. He epitomizes the popular view, but the radical Jesus of Nazareth says instead, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, in Matthew 5:44. This can be a hard teaching to accept, for we are reminded continually through all forms of media that such people are losers and only fodder for the sword of the violent. Almost every problem is solved with a gun in both movies and television series. After decades of being taught this lesson in the media, everything within our being rebels at the thought of willingly setting aside violence as an answer to evil. Compounded with the idea of our short lives being all there is, the setting down of our arms seems untenable. With every fiber of our being set against it, it seems easier to join with a mob and reject the idea of God and consequently the idea that he cares at all about what happens to us. If, as we believe as Seventh-day Adventists, there is truly a great controversy between God and the devil over who shall own us, wouldn't that be exactly the position the devil would have us to be in? I cannot think of a better strategy to enthrall a planet to him. How ironic that the one who said, "You will not surely die," to Eve, now uses a very real aspect of certain death to control humanity. However, the lie effectively confirms the opposite, the possibility of eternal life conditionally offered. A light shines in the darkness of the charnel house. A short life followed by an ignominious death is not the only option, as we were led to believe. This life with all its suffering and woe is not all there is, and it is certainly not the best there is. Like most lies, there is a grain of truth to make it palatable. The devil is right. This life is short, but that means it cannot begin to compare to what awaits us beyond. It also means that the suffering we face now is but for a moment, a flickering of a flame soon extinguished. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians 4:17. With the understanding of that revelation, even a caged bird can sing, rejoicing in the suffering that proves the hope of a future of eternal joy and peace. When a person is in fear of drowning, they cling desperately to anything or anyone that comes in reach without thought or reason. It is a reflex that has drowned others along with them who are trying to rescue them, thereby thwarting their own rescue. We're like that person, clinging to our weapons with a knee-jerk reaction, believing they will save us, as we have always been told. The God who walks on the same water that we are drowning in offers us his hand. Will we take it? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find many other podcasts there. May God richly bless you and your family.